Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. We are live. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, and Author Sean Douglas. Welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is currently heard in 28 countries and hundreds of weekly listeners in such as Brazil, U.S., Canada, France, Australia, New Zealand, and many others. So thank you so much to those of you who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the story of why we are doing what we're doing and how we are helping others to transform. You can listen to us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern. On the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. If you have any questions for any of our guests during the show, again, this is a live broadcast, so you can call in at the call-in number 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. If you're listening on blogtalkradio.com, you can go ahead and click that little follow me button. If you're on iTunes, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and leave us a rating and review. And you can also get a hold of me at Sean, S-E-A-N, at the Success Corps, Corps, C-O-R-P-S. The email address is Sean at thesuccesscorps.com. I'd love to talk with you and see what you've loved about the show. On the show today is an amazing, amazing woman in Carolyn Smith. Welcome to the show, Carolyn.
Good afternoon from San Diego. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
I am super, super pumped to be here. We had talked probably, what, like 2 months ago about some of the stuff, you know, to have you on the show, and I was just absolutely blown away at the story, and I cannot wait for everyone to listen to what you have to tell us today. So if you're ready, I am super ready.
I am totally ready. So greetings from super insanely sunny San Diego, a little bit hazy today. I'll start from the very beginning. I'll leave out the inception part. Born and raised here in San Diego. I was actually an athlete. I raced a bicycle professionally, turned professional when I was 14. And greatest thing ever, going around the velodrome. And most people don't realize or recognize probably what the velodrome is. I think they probably thought I just sneezed. And so I picked an awesomely obscure sport, unbeknownst to me. And but it's a very tactical sport, and excelled. And ended up doing my first Olympic trials. I was 19. Moved on to Australia. I was 21. And I was really good at it. And being an athlete in your 20s is a very good time. It's awesome.
Right.
it's a good time. And I am the daughter of a veteran. I'm the granddaughter of two World War II veterans. And the lineage all the way back is service. And Fightertown USA, you know, so I've always been around the military. I always knew I was going to serve, but it was sort of that balance between, well, I know I'm going to serve, but this is a pretty pretty fantastic time to go around on sponsorship dime and being athlete. That was a good time. And then 9/11 came around. And at the very super tender age of 29, I gave up my athletic career and a chance to go for another Olympic trial to try and get an Olympic berth, and went to the United States Army. And it was kind of funny because, you know, all the privates in basic training were, you know, 18, 19 years old. And they're like, what's wrong? You couldn't make it in the real world? I'm like, dude, I have a fan club. Like, what are you talking about? You know?
Right.
It was kind of funny. And it was really easy for me. I ended up being more in a mentor position than in a I'm going to break you down position, because I'd already I'd already been broken by, you know, by my elite Olympic coaches. I'd already been through all that. But the hard part, I wasn't a runner. You know, sprinting and running are two different things, and that kind of broke my rear end off. That was bad for me. But because I was so advanced, I was actually top 2% of my graduating class, and I ended up in additional training. So when everybody else was like shining their boots and mowing the lawns, I was doing additional training and was a military police officer. Ended up in Germany with the 127th Military Police Company and deployed to Iraq in April 2004, height of the war. And the unique part about my story is I was a crew-served machine gunner.
Wow.
And so I'm less than one. Well, it's I mean, it comes with its own, you know, its own warning label. I'm a warning label now. but it, you know, but it's, you know, I'm less than one half percent of women who were forward deployed. There's not a lot of us. And it's amazing, and it's one of those positions that allow you as a woman, not in sort of like that feminist way or anything like that, but it allows you to be just the most perfect example of who you never knew you were going to be.
Right.
Because there's no other thing on the planet that's going to bring you to that many different types of trauma within a year, and nothing like, I don't mean sexual trauma or anything like that. I mean combat. I mean,
yeah.
For the first 6 months, we engaged every single day, roadside bombs and car bombs, and I mean, hundreds of, you know, kids and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas just killed and murdered, not by us, of course, you know, by the bad guys. And you
right.
know, it's, you just find that you get to be on the battlefield with your brothers next to you at the same level and not treated like a girl. You're treated as an equal. And, you know, you end up being, I was always an overperformer. I was always, you know, that type of A personality. And so was everybody around me. And it was just gelled really well, you know, and there was no concerns about, oh, I wonder if she can do this. It was never that treatment. It was always like, it was always like we're all exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really well, except, you know, September 7, 2004 was our first, you know, our casualty in our truck. Our lieutenant and I, we were dismounted, and he was standing right next to me, and sniper shot him in the face and killed him. And
wow.
He was killed right next to me, and I tell you what, man, it's as a service member, you'll I don't really want to say appreciate this, but you know, there's things that human beings just should never. I mean, it's war. We signed up for it. All those good things. I don't mind that. It's just there's something about the inability to grieve when it's your own teammate, because the next day. Now, this is 7 September 2004 when he was killed. And I didn't leave our unit didn't leave Iraq until April of that next year. So I went back in the turret for another 7 months.
Wow.
And you became a very lethal within the moral confines of what that means. But you became a very harnessed, very tactically, technically a person, which at the end game of what, you know, what I'm doing now, I think it really helped, but you know, it also didn't give you any toggle switches. You know, it gave you no middle ground. It gave you, I'm going in big. And I think
right.
that's what a lot of veteran entrepreneurs, I think that's what it did for a lot of us. If you know how to harness that, and you don't necessarily have to be a veteran, but if you're an entrepreneur, I think that's the one thing that, you know, that puts entrepreneurs in a much different class, not socioeconomic or anything like that, but just in a different class of a person, really, is that there's toggle switches between different forms of humanity. And some people can, you know, throttle on and throttle back and this and that, but, you know, there's something about going through combat, living through things you should never have lived through, that make it so that you just kind of throttle forward and mm-hmm. and just get things done when a lot of the statistics say you're not going to get it done.
Yeah, no, and, definitely, absolutely. Hey, I want to get into this one thing right here. I want to read this because I'm just fascinated. This kind of gives an overview of kind of what you're talking about. So
awesome.
I love your bio that was on here, and it really says to who you are and speaks to who your character is. And, you know, you're from San Diego. And so you returned to San Diego after sustaining injuries from roadside bombs, severely undertreated by the VA facility and finding herself on a new battlefield, struggling with the crippling effects of PTSD and debilitating pain. Carolyn would be treated with high dose opioids by the VA for almost 5 years, coming dangerously close to being one of the 22 a day veteran statistics. Never a woman to back down from a fight, Carolyn set out to find a better answer than the VA, and she found it. UCLA Operation Mend, and in 2015 received a groundbreaking advanced biotech spinal surgery. The innovation bug had caught her. Carolyn's life began anew when she saw Sophia on the San Diego Humane Society's social media page. An abandoned amputee kitten found with her umbilical cord wrapped around her rear paw, alone 8 days old, struggling but not giving up. Carolyn became inspired by Sophia's story that mirrored her own struggle. Carolyn would adopt Sophia and her bonded mate Leo and embarked on a new quest. With a high threat risk mitigation background, Carolyn didn't think she was an innovator, yet set out and collaborated with FabLab, a makerspace located in San Diego. In 2015, Carolyn, with the direction of FabLab, created the first ever detachable 3D printed prototype prosthetic for Sophia the cat. Carolyn would extend her new creativity and unveil Sophia the Bionic Cat, the children's book based on this amazing journey that is now found in Barnes & Noble and on Amazon. The book is yet another innovative marvel as Carolyn used the new open dyslexic that word is so hard to say, open dyslexic font so readers can with dyslexia can enjoy not just the inspiring story, but the ease of the read on the brain. Holy crap. That is amazing.
You know,
the second time I've heard it. It's amazing.
I tell you what, I appreciate when you say that. It feels so validating, and you know how that feels as an entrepreneur yourself, right? It feels
yeah.
It's kind of funny because a lot of my good friends who are your friends, some of them are your good friends too, a lot of people expected a Lifetime movie about me. And
right,
it was a little intimidating, right? It was a little intimidating to say, oh, yeah, I'm actually coming out about a children's – I don't have kids. You know, and so when they found out it was about a kitten and all these things, they're like, wait, what? Because you're a badass. So when it's about a kitty, and I'm like, yes, and you're going to love it. And so now I have all these hard charging, like, you know, alpha dudes, and they're like, I love your kitty, you know, and it's great, you know. And it's amazing. So Sophia, you know, most people don't realize this. I mean, most people know about, you know, the animal-human bond, and we see that in – you know, PTSD dogs and mm-hmm. equine therapy and dogs mm-hmm. that detect tremors and seizures and all those good things. But the interesting things that cats do that other animals just don't do is that when a cat is on and has contact with human skin and they start to purr, they release what's called oxytocin. And that's the natural feel-good
really?
Chemical in the human brain that allows us to, you know, kind of relax. It's that natural relaxation chemical
so
in the brain.
So the cat does that. The cat, when it purrs, is releasing oxytocin in our brains?
In our brains, yep.
No way. That's awesome.
They actually,
I didn't know that.
If you actually, yeah, so if you actually, New York City did this one great experiment, and they, in the middle of Times Square, and I go to New York, about once a year to do some work out there, but they built this thing in the middle of Times Square, and it's a box. It's a glass box, and half of it's glass, and the other half is covered, and they said free stress reliever, free, I don't know, 15, 20-minute stress reliever all you got to do is walk in, sit down. And people are like, yeah, because, you know, it's New York, hustle, bustle. And it's right in the middle of Manhattan, right? And so people get in, they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And all of a sudden, and some of these are like bikers and, you know, super stressed stock market guys. And they get in there, and all of a sudden these little boxes open, swing open, and it's little baby kittens. And
wow.
15 minutes later, people are like, oh, I love this. I don't ever want to leave. It's just that it's that natural feel-good, you know, chemical. And Sophia's story really did emulate mine. You know, the VA, they kept saying, well, women are not really in combat, so why don't you tell us what really happened? And, you know, it's like it's in the file in front of you. And I felt really lonely because my pain was so intolerable. I'm 44. I've never been married. I have no kids. And they just made it so, and they kept saying, well, what do you want us to do? And I kept thinking, well, you're my hope. You're the one that's, what do you mean? What do you want me to do? I'm not the medical people. I don't know. I don't know how to answer your question. And I literally was really, really, I mean, I was really close to becoming a statistic. I was already a statistic on the opioid side because they had, and this was scheduled opioid use. I was scheduled seven times a day for 4.5 years by the VA on opioids. And that's 0.10 hydrocodone scheduled by the pain management center by the VA. And you don't get to have a life like that. I had PTSD that, you know, that was slightly managed. I had a TBI that they wouldn't even bother to do a scan of. I had migraines that they kept saying it's psychosomatic. It's just me. If you just relax a little bit more. And so when Sophia came along, when UCLA Operation Men came along, and they used what's called a biomorphogenic protein lumbar fusion, which means it's a biotech that's creating my own genetic bone back into my spine.
Right? Wow.
Right? It's amazing. And they did a step-down process because they said, you know, we can't be, you know, you cannot be on opioids that long. It's just so, I mean, it's,
right.
I mean, they were so upset. I mean, I can't even use the words they used. They were so upset. And they did a step-down process, and I haven't touched opioids since my surgery, which is 2 years ago. And life is so much different. Like, I'm totally thinking about dating, and I haven't thought about dating in years. Because you can't date – when you're a train wreck, guys don't want to date train wrecks. And the guys you do date, they're train wrecks, right? Like the retired MARSOC train wreck guys and the retired, you know, Navy SEAL train wreck guys who – I mean, we're all train wrecks trying to date each other. You know, it's just – it's hard, you know, and
absolutely
people, right. And it's hard because they just, you know, people don't realize that there are advanced technology nonprofits available. There's not many of them. And I have the luxury because I have this story about technology that next month there's an association here in San Diego called Biocom, and Biocom represents 800 of the biotech genome and pharma companies in Southern California. So just like you, I'm a paid speaker, right? And so I just signed a contract with Biocom to be their speaker for their gala this year.
Wow.
And it's amazing because it enables me to plant the bug with them to show them a veteran who was saved by technology. All of those lab folks that don't get the praise and all of the, you know, the lobbyists, because I'm not going to be a lobbyist, but there's got to be lobbyists there, right? There's got to be,
right.
I mean, that's the reality, right? We don't talk about those things, but I don't care who hears my story. All I care is that the next Carolyn that's coming through the VA system and who has the same experience doesn't end up being a 22 like I almost ended up being, or the next Bob or Bill or whoever it is, because, you know, the awareness is not, we're aware there's suicide. 22 push-ups, don't do a push-up. Find innovative ways to help the veteran community survive and thrive. We're supposed to thrive. We made it home for a reason, to be innovators and educators and have families and do barbecues and relax and, you know, watch golf or do whatever you want to do. but we're not because we're suffering. And so the story with Sophia is really just about thriving, finding a way to, you know, turn PTSD into that springboard of like a thruster and be able to use it as a power mechanism rather than, you know, like a weight.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the first question I always dive into on the show is why. I believe it's the most important question that you have to ask yourself. When bad things happen, everybody says, why me? When good things happen, you tend to not ask why. You just tend to just kind of grab the good stuff and move along, you know? When we wake up in the morning, you know, we have to live out our why. So my question to you is why? Why the 3D printing and the CAD and the why become a speaker and an advocate for, you know, 22s and the Fab Lab? Like, why do you do what you do?
Well, because the people that did not come home in my team, they were 23 and 24 years old. They didn't get to have innovative thoughts. They didn't get to have the ability to write a children's book. They didn't get to have blog, talk, radio. They didn't get to have any of these things. So our job as survivors is to ensure that you know that their names, right? So you speak their names and they live. And so when I speak, I get to tell them one of their names was Specialist Ty Vu and the other one is Lieutenant Tim Price. And you know their name. And when I do my projects, it's because I got to live that day. And so I get inspired by the fact that if they were here, they would do the exact same thing. So why not?
Wow. That's an amazing why. I mean,
that's the best why I can think of.
Right?
Why
I mean,
not?
I was just like, that's like the best why I've ever heard. You know.
Yes.
That's awesome. So looking back, can you pinpoint exactly, cuz on the show, we take the why, we take your transformational moment, we combine the two, and that's what we use to elevate everyone around us. In your case, we elevate cats. So, can you pinpoint what your transformational moment was? Was it seeing the cat on the flyer? What was that moment that you said, okay, enough is enough, and I'm going for life change?
Well, here's the funny thing. So, when I got my surgery, it was just like I wasn't in pain anymore. And so when I saw, okay, so Sophia, when she was found, and, you know, you were saying that how her umbilical cord was wrapped around her legs, but she kept trying to get up because her umbilical cord was tearing from her belly button. And as much pain as I can fathom that she was in, she kept trying to get up. She had no nutrients, no mother's milk, no shade, no food, no nothing for the first 8 days of her life. And she kept trying to get up. And I thought, you know what? That is me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was bawling like 2-year-old. I'm an MP, man. I've been through so much. I'm like, oh my God, kitten, you totally are making, like, you are like, I feel you. Right. And so it was at the same time, I was awarded the 2014 Veteran of the Year for the 71st District by Duncan Hunter and Assemblyman Brian Jones. And if you think about it, out of all of the veterans here in San Diego, which is, you know, Fighter Town, USA, they selected me. And I was like, so when I walked into the San Diego Humane Society and I inquired about Sophia and Leonidas, they're like, oh, my God, we just saw you on the news. This is a great story. Right? Disabled veteran adopts disabled kitten. And I was like, okay, let's do this. And I didn't know. When I saw Sophia, I was, as a risk mitigator, I was thinking, you know what, 5-10 years down the line, her good leg's going to give out. So all I'm going to do is I'm just going to create something that's going to make sure that her structural issues are going to be okay, because I know how that feels, because I have been going through it for 12 years. What I did not know, I had no idea that it had never been done until I saw this story flipped around in People magazine. They flipped it and they said, disabled cat adopts disabled veterans.
And then, wow.
Right? So initially I did a PSA commercial with the Humane Society, and it was disabled veteran adopts disabled kitten. And then People magazine flipped it. And then the Today Show flipped it. And then it went all the way out to Germany and they flipped it. And then when it came back and I went to Fab Lab, and then the news picked it up. And then Channel 10 picked it up. And I got the Military Hero Award. And then I got the Coleman University. And it just went on and on and on. And it was steamrolling. And I wanted to make sure that I captured this amazing thing about creating something that people are like, oh, my God, you're an innovator. And I'm like, no. I'm just trying to make sure that her other leg, you know, is going to be okay. And her spine's going to be okay. And then, you know, I was just at the Maker Fair here in San Diego, and these, like, amazing innovators that are creating, like, rocket ship stuff and amazing DARPA kind of technology are walking up. They're like, wow, that's amazing. And I'm like, what? You know, and that's when it really kind of hit me, you know, because I would always think, geez, I bet you there's nothing left on the planet to invent. Like, everything's already invented. You know, and here I'm just kind of tooling around, just trying to make sure that I'm making her, you know, her body structure okay. And here I am creating something nobody's ever done. And so next month, as I go speak with Biocom, there's a company there that we're talking to. And now we're talking about integrating genome, which is living tissue, into what our design is. That's when it hit me about 3 or 4 days ago. That we're about to create another something. Oh my God! And then, so I thought about three months ago, I sat down. And I was like, you know what? I wonder if I could make a movie out of this. And then I started writing the screenplay.
That's awesome.
And so I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna make a children's movie out of it. I'm gonna make a big kid, like a Dolphin Tales of our generation. People are like, you're crazy. How are you gonna do? How are you gonna get the financing for this? I'm like, I don't know, but people told me I was crazy to write a kid's book about it. People are, you know, I'm not an innovator. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a designer. But now I have tech companies. I have universities calling me now. Hey, do you want to team up with this? Do you want to? We would love to talk to you. We want to team up with you. And yeah, so I'm not an innovator. I'm not an engineer. I'm not any of those things. But it doesn't matter, right? You take what you know, and you take a leap of faith. Because the worst thing that can happen right now is I fail and I just go back to my corporate job that I've been doing for 16 years in high threat risk mitigation. I was corporate security for the Bank of Tokyo. I'm pretty sure they'll be happy to take me back because I resigned like 4 months ago.
Wow. That is,
right? People are so scared to fail. But when you've been so lucky to make it through a deployment alive, you're like, hey, nobody's going to blow me up with a car bomb if I fail. They're just going to be like, hey, you failed. Right. You're like, eh, you know.
Right, yeah, no, definitely, definitely. So what has been the best part so far? Is it like you just started seeing things steamroll up, you know, like going uphill, like this person and people and Today Show and like all these publications started kind of bringing light to it? Or what was the best part about your transformation?
You know what it is? I have really bad social anxiety.
Really?
That's a PTSD. Yeah. I'm pretty
Public
sure
speaker.
Every single day, right? Well, because I went through 13 roadside bombings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure every single day I go outside and I hop in my big old truck, I'm pretty sure it's going to blow up every day. And I'm pretty sure that when I go out in crowds, because you're public speaking, you're in crowds, I'm pretty sure every single day the crowds are going to blow up. And when they don't, I'm like, oh, geez, look at that. That's great. High five. Right? And so it seems to be helping me with just being okay with getting into crowds. And I think it's helped heal me in a way that probably would have taken another 20 years. And I would have been just like my father, who's a Vietnam veteran, who still doesn't like crowds. I think I've accelerated my healing just by proxy of being a public speaker, which I never intended to be. I never even thought about it. Never even thought, oh, geez, I can't wait to adopt my cat and write a book about it and get in front of all these crowds and do all these public facing things. I never even dreamed about it. So I think that's really it. You know, it's been so cathartic. Man. It's been really a healing thing about a kitten that I never, that's really what it is. It's been so cathartic. It's been super healing for me. And, you know, I don't really have a lot of emotions because of all the, you know, PTSD makes it so that, you know, that one toggle switch for emotion for me particularly is kind of off. And when people come up to me and they have emotions, that's when I feel emotions. And it's good to feel human. It's good to feel, you know, like you are, you know, like other people on the planet, like you have that connection with other people on the planet.
Yeah.
And so if other people are, you know, first responders, you know, veterans that are listening or, you know, whatnot, they understand that. And, you know, you feel really detached, you know, from the planet when you don't have a lot of feelings. So when little kids come up or I just got an email on our webpage and this lady said, this is the most inspiring story I've ever heard. I'd like to help. Can we donate somewhere? And I was like, oh. It was a one-line email, and I was like, oh, right in the feels. And it feels nice to feel.
Yep.
I'm a woman. I'm supposed to feel. It feels abnormal not to feel, so it feels nice to feel.
Yeah. So what has been the worst part about it? There's always two sides to every story, right? So, I mean, what's been the worst part about it so far?
I'm being an overachiever and being a veteran
It's
hard to ask help. I can do everything by myself, right?
Unless they're a veteran, nobody gets it. Nobody gets it if you're not a veteran.
Right, and I don't like asking for help. I could figure everything out by myself. I could do everything by myself, and I'm super overprotective. I don't trust a lot of people, and if people speak like the civilians speak in the veteran vernacular, it's been such a hard you know, handshake to trust somebody is going to take my idea and they're going to treat it, you know, with the same, you know, with a, like do it right the first time.
Right.
That's the hardest part. That's the hardest part for me.
I like to have my hand kind of in everything because I feel like if I have control over it, it's not going to get messed up. you know, like I think that's a lot of veterans are like, no, I got it. Like when you have your teams out in the field, it's like I have my position, you have your position. Like there's that trust, but there's always that military adage was trust but verify.
But verify.
You know what I mean? Like you have each other's backs like all the time. It's hard for me to go, hey, with my speaking business, like, hey, go book me here, or hey, go check out my email stuff, or hey, write my copy for that. Like, I don't want people doing things for me. Like, I want control because I know if something happens, like, I can control it. And it's kind of like, the same way when you're deployed.
Same exact thing. I don't actually have anybody doing any of those things. I am so overtasked that I do it all by myself. I literally don't have anybody doing any of those things. I am trying to learn that balance, you know, and figuring out how do I give control, because, you know, as an NCO, former NCO in the military, it was drilled into you, and it's not just the military, but as being an athlete in at such a young age, and raising to such high ranks as an athlete, you know, going to the Olympic trials at such a young age, that was also very disciplined. And I'm used to, it wasn't like I picked a sport where it was a team sport. It wasn't, it was singular. It was just me. I was a sprinter. Right. And so for, you know, 20 some odd years, actually 20 plus years, it was me I actually really love the feeling of failing and succeeding by myself. I love that feeling. And I'm hard on myself.
Yeah.
And so I like to see when I fail, I actually like seeing the failure so I can correct it and see, and when I, you know, and so when I succeed, everybody around me is like, well, that's the greatest. I'm like, yeah, of course I got it done. Of course I did.
Yeah.
Like, of course I did a children's book. And I'm not so surprised.
Yeah.
You know, so I think so you're, the hardest
Olympic athlete, to Army, to speaker, veteran, and advocate? Kind of the timeline.
No, I never went to the Olympics, so I wouldn't say Olympic athlete. I just I went to Olympic trials, and you know, I was young, and
yeah.
My mouth ran a little bit too much. Just like, you know, that's why I went to the MT Corps. They're like, yeah, you're a smart ass. You belong in the MT Corps. I was like, yeah, that's perfect.
Awesome. It kind of fit right in, right?
Right. And I
awesome.
Did. I mean, you know, it was perfect. I mean, it was the greatest career ever. And, you know, for me, because I had graduated, you know, top 2%, the additional training that I got was PSD, security detachments. And so when I left active Army, I actually went into high threat contracting for about 6 years. Right.
Wow.
So when I went into high threat, right, I have worked or traveled in about 21 different countries. And then I transitioned from high threat contracting into corporate security for, you know, some heavy hitters. And then, like I said, about 4 months ago, I took the risk and I pivoted and I said, you know what, it's time to do public speaking full time and you know, finish the prosthetic and, you know, get this movie rolling and see if I can't get a movie deal here and, you know, take the risk, because it goes back on what I say. I don't know that tomorrow is mine. So, you know, let's take the risk today and see what happens.
Yeah. No, I love that. I absolutely love that. Like, I'm just like a certified badass, you know, like, man, that is so, I'm just amazed. It's like so cool. So
you and I have to do a speaking gig, you know, one of these days, you know, together,
awesome.
Man. I'm just telling you.
Oh yeah, that'd be super awesome. So who's been your influencer throughout this whole process? Do you have any influencers, people you look up to?
You know what? I'll tell you. And for the love of me, I feel bad that I can't really remember her name, but she is the Middle Eastern girl that got shot in the head, and she's a speaker. Oh, what is her name?
Oh, I heard about her a couple of years ago.
Yeah, she.
Wow.
And it's, yeah, and you wouldn't think it that way, right? But
right.
It's really those people who, against all odds, and not in the feminism way. I'm not a feminist, but it's really those people who, against all odds, no matter what their gender
right.
is. Are like the hard chargers. I mean, I'm completely in love with General Mattis. I secretly want to
yeah,
be his girlfriend.
I
mean, that's. I mean, I totally. I mean, that's who I look up to in the sense of just like integrity and honor and like, you know,
right.
those things. But
yep.
but it's also it's, you know, yeah. And then
awesome.
You know, for innovation, you know, I look towards the people that in bio and genome and stuff like that. You know, I really get into. Those companies that are so innovative that, you know, that creates, you know, technology, Organovo. There's a company called Organovo here in San Diego that they took a 3D printed kidney and just utilized living tissue. And it's a live living kidney now from a 3D prototype.
That's insane what they can do with 3D printing. It is just
right?
so
I mean,
incredible.
I get inspired by different things depending on how the wind blows. It could be, you know, a painter. It could be whatever. It's just, you know, I get inspired by people living. I get inspired
yeah.
by people like making a change on the planet. But really like passionate people. You know, not. I mean, do whatever you want to do in your private life. I don't really care. But passionate, cool huh. people.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree. 100%. Absolutely agree. So where are you headed now? Like, let's talk about new adventures, businesses, family. What do you got coming up?
Well, I am talking to this guy and he's kind of cute. I'm just going to say that.
Okay.
Dude, I haven't gone on a date in years. So that is, that's pretty good for me. That's kind of exciting.
Okay. Fair enough.
that's a big deal for me. Let's high five myself. Let's all celebrate that. So what's going on now? So I'm on the 20th, I'll be at the USS Midway for a book signing, which is a very classic place to be for a book signing. the USS Midway here in San Diego. And then I'm working on, of course, the screenplay for Sophia the Bionic Cat, turning that into hopefully a movie. Goes a little bit longer than I thought it'd ever be, but that's okay. So if people are listening and you're with Disney or Universal, just go ahead and call me. I'll be there. I'll be ready for you. And then, like I said, we're going to be we're talking to a company here in San Diego that's transitioning or hopefully to transition our 3D printed into the living science. And I can't really talk more about that because I have to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I get it.
And then what, you know, what we're really hoping to do is for 2018 is setting up our schedule to tell this story to universities that deal in tech, 3D, 3D printing, and STEAM and STEM, and hopefully to get them to consider, you know, innovative techniques for their STEAM STEM programs, and so that those kids will transition into, you know, whatever their career choice is. And I really want to get companies, high-tech companies, to consider more coming into the Veterans Choice Program. So UCLA Operation Mend is, they're kind of pseudo working with the VA, but it's not the Veterans Choice Program. It's really a case-by-case basis for like ortho, neuro, burns, amputees, stuff like that. But think if we got these high-tech companies to provide, you know, their technology to veterans, getting them off zombie dope and you know, narcos and all that other stuff, and providing high-tech technology, whether it's, you know, traumatic brain injuries or whatever, and really get us some high-tech, you know, veterans moving forward.
That's awesome. Man, that'd be super cool.
Right. And
that's
so,
I'm fascinating. Like, my mind is so blown right now. That's pretty cool.
So I really thought, you know, initially I really thought, well, I'm just going to be able to, you know, do public speaking and tell this great story. But I think I really have the ability to start talking to these tech companies because they, you know, with the speaking event at Biocom, it's 800 life science companies that are going to be there. And I really have this platform, and I really stopped and thought about it. And I was like, God, I really hope every other biotech, pharma, genome company or university that's listening here, you know, on this podcast, I really hope they stop and think about it and go, you know what, I'd like to chat with her. Because you're not going to find a different, you're not going to find a story like mine. And it's, I want it to be unique. And I want them to stop and think, geez, I wonder if we have something that we can adapt and maybe help out the veteran community or the first responder community or just the community as a whole, right?
Yeah.
And but I really want to help. I know how, like I said, these awareness programs for the veteran community, these are not working. Don't show me another video of 22, you know, veterans doing you know, 22 push-ups a day. Don't do that stuff.
Yeah.
It's technology that's going to save us.
Absolutely.
And because I created, you know, because I have technology inside of me and I created technology, my platform is going to be, you know, getting more technology, advanced technology into the veteran side, and not just for the critically wounded, for you know, your battle buddies, to get them some technology and maybe help lower the numbers of, you know, suicides inside of our community and see what happens.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. So we got about 3 minutes left before we end the show. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone?
Well, why do you think, you know, for the listeners, look, when you get in your car and you go to work, take a look at your rear view mirror and then remind yourself you still have the front windshield. The rear view mirror is what most people look at far too long in their lives. Mm-hmm. The rearview mirror is so small, and you're only supposed to take glimpses of the good stuff, but most of the time you're only taking so much of attention. You're looking in there for far too long and all the bad stuff. But then you forget that the front windshield is so vast. There's so many opportunities, and you're looking at the rearview mirror, and you keep making all these crashes in your life. So just stop and think, you know what, stop looking out the rearview mirror and keep looking out that front windshield. It's got more cool stuff coming along. If you're going through a divorce, you're still alive. If you're going through a change in careers and you got fired, you're still alive. You're still alive. And a lot of people don't have the opportunities that you have. It's at the end of the game of life. You're not taking anything with you. Enjoy it. Be good to people. Be good stewards. And then, of course, go buy our book.
Love it.
And you can find us at www.3pauseup.com. And you can follow Sophia the Bionic Cat on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And if you follow her on Twitter, there's monthly contests where you can win stuff. And I can't be responsible for what happens on Instagram because Leonidas, who doesn't have thumbs, he's the one that posts stuff on there. I can't be responsible for what he posts. But other than that, I appreciate coming on here. Hey, sometimes he does selfies. I think he did selfies yesterday, and I can't be held responsible for that stuff.
So close us out with a call to action. What should someone do today? You mentioned go to Facebook and Twitter and all that, but what should someone do today?
Well, you know what? If you need to pivot today, if you need to make a decision today, sit down with your family and talk about it. If there's something that's weighing on your mind and you're trying to figure it out all alone by yourself, and look around because you actually have a battle buddy around you. Don't try and be like I did or other people did. Sit down and find your battle buddy and soundboard. Make a team. Sit down and say, hey, honey, wife, husband, best friend, minister, pastor, whoever, and say, I have a problem. I have an idea. I have a goal. I'm too scared. I'm too nervous. I don't know how to get the funding. I don't know how to do this, or I do know how to do this, and I'd like some help. I need help, and I need a partner. I need a best friend. I just need advice.
Awesome.
Go for it.
Love it. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I've had a blast, and I'm fascinated by what you're doing.
Outstanding. Thanks for having me on, and I have had a fun time, and thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in, and I hope you all have a fantastic day.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, another impactful episode with amazing guests. I'm so blown away and fascinated. If anything resonated with you, look us up on iTunes, rate and review the show, contact us on Facebook. We're all over the place. Join the Life Transformation Radio podcast group. And until next time, like I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out your brand. Until next time, have a good night.